All right, Psalm 104 this evening. Psalm 104, read the first four verses, have a word of prayer and tell you where we're going. Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. I might as well read verse 5, it continues the thought. Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word here tonight. Thank you for the good spirit, good hymns that we is completed here tonight, and pray that it was a good preface to giving forth of your word tonight. We just ask that you move among us as we look into your word, a lot of verses here this evening, and that we'll not only mark them down, but we'll write them in our hearts as a means to and know truth from error, and to be able to distinguish between them. Speak to every heart. The message is for we who are saved, and we pray for anybody in our midst that might be lost, that they might be convicted by the Holy Spirit, even though we're dealing with people who have received Christ as Savior versus those who have not. And we just ask that they would move to receive him before it is eternally too late. We would hate to see anybody that comes here or that watches and that knows about the truth reject the truth altogether and go on the basis of knowledge and not salvation in Christ. So we ask you to guide our thoughts, the verses we look at, that they would take and have a great impact on our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we did a series on the doctrine of last things. It was quite extensive. It took about 16 lessons or messages and teaching and the preaching part of it. And some people said, well, you're going to keep going on. Well, no, there's a certain limits that you've got to put to that. When you get into heaven, New Jerusalem, all that, that's a study in and of itself. And so now I wanted to switch gears and go to the doctrine of angels, mainly because that is another subject that we tend to be biblically illiterate of. We say things that, oh, she's an angel, isn't she? And we don't even really know the definition of, you know, what kind of an angel? Good angel? Bad angel? I mean, they're both kinds. And you know, the portrayals of what angels look like, all of that has relevance to our not getting into the word versus what is in the world and accepting that. So in dealing with angels, verse 4 gave us this statement, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. The angels are mentioned well over 300 times in Scripture. And when you use some of the other words like messengers, then we're into some big numbers. What I want to give you here tonight is just introduction type material. And then later on, we'll deal with their description, the good angels, the evil angels, and then culminate with Satan himself. So let's go back to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And in many of these cases, to start off with, I'm just trying to acquaint you with the mention of angels, not insofar as what they're concerned with at this point. Psalm 34, look at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, this Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, we'll discuss that later, I believe happens to be a pre-incarnate theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. An angel of the Lord is just a different story, but we'll get into that. Psalm 8, Psalm chapter 8, and look at here in verse 4 and verse 5. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. People who like to have a tremendous amount of self-worth and self-esteem, you think that's a good thing. It probably does your self-worth and self-esteem a little bit of damage to know that we've been created a little lower than the angels. But that's just the nature of what it is. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Last book of the Old Testament. I'm just taking a word here and using it in the same way before I define all the different words. Verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant with whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. First inclination to think, oh, that's talking about John the Baptist. No, it's not. It's talking about an angel. And if you look up the word messenger, in most cases, not all, it is not talking about a human being, but an angelic being. Right? Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. I'm going to do a little going back and forth because, not that I want to make it hard, but it's good exercise. Matthew 24, verse 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, and who are those people on the left hand? The goats. At the judgment of the nations, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So we're learning a few things, that the devil has angels, and we know there's angels. We know that there's the angel of the Lord. There's also an angel of the Lord. So now go back to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And let's look here in verse 1, chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Go to verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. So now you're told something more information, that we know that they're spirits, but they also can be seen. And we know that they were angels because the word tells us that. I don't know that Lot distinguished that they were angels necessarily at that point. Genesis 24. Abraham is talking to his servant. His servant is never named. It's thought to be Eleazar. When we take the typology, it appears that he would be very much like the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. But we'll read verse 6 and verse 7. And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my sons from thence. So, A lot of times if you've read this and you think he's just going and he's going aimlessly, just wandering, and he's going to just find a place. And here you're told that God sent his angel before him. So he was leading him in that capacity, which is very typical of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 28. And let's look here in verse 12. This is Jacob, not Jacob sitting here, but Jacob before he became Israel. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, you can go wild with your imaginations. Don't go wild with your imaginations. Just take it for what it says. So let me give you some other material here, and go with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. The meaning of the word angel, as the Bible uses it, means a messenger. It can mean an ambassador. It can mean a deputy. It can mean ministers, depending on the context of where you read it. They can appear as human messengers to give us a human message. And that's why I wanted you to look in verse, where was I? Luke 7, sorry. Luke chapter 7 in verse 20. When the men were come into him, John the Baptist, they said, John the Baptist has sent unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see, a reed shaken or the wind? And again, these are messengers. And in and of itself, you could say these were men. Well, they could have appeared as men, but they were delivering human messages from themselves. Okay, now, Galatians chapter 4. There's another aspect of this where they can appear as human messengers and deliver a divine message. Galatians chapter 4. And look here in verse 14. And my temptation, which was into my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Now, he was alluding to the people who were regarding him as a messenger of God. Later on, we'll see that does refer in some cases to pastors in local churches. It can also be used by Satan's angels. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And this occurs in a providential way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So, God didn't send this, but he allowed Satan to use an angel to do this. It would have been an evil angel, and he inflicted whatever it was that he had. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So it was a very providential messenger, angel, that occurred. Or it could be for pastors, like I said. Revelation chapter 1, And we won't look at all the ones in chapter 2 and 3, but there are several. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. They were talking about pastors, messengers, ministers. And you find it in chapter 2, verse 1, verse 8, verse 12, verse 20. In chapter 3, verse 1, verse 7, verse 14. To the angel of the church at Laodicea, to the angel of the church at Ephesus. They were all talking about somebody that was leading that church. And it was talking about a messenger being a pastor. And then alluding to that as a stars. All right. It can refer to angels without bodies. We'll learn here from another passage, Matthew chapter 12, that some of them are embodied. They take on what you would look at it, think is human flesh. But it really isn't. Matthew chapter 12 in verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Now, again, we're talking about angels here and messengers. They were not embodied. They knew about this particular angel, but they never saw him in any regard. It also can refer to heavenly beings. So, again, to go back to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. If you knew how to put your fingers in between all of these, you would have used all 10 fingers by now. But you can do that. Okay, verse 18, look at verse 1 and then verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. All right, so these were heavenly beings, but they had bodies. The Lord appeared in physical form, and so did these other three. So that's important that you see that. And in Exodus chapter 3, look here in verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. There is one preeminent angel. And you'll see it over and over and over again. So in most every instance, it's referring to a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called the angel of the Lord. And many times you'll see this in the Old Testament. Also in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, and the Lord, he came. All right, so know this, that an angel is not a personal name. It is a description of an office. And the office, of course, is that they can be messengers, they can be deputies, they can be ministers. And again, all of those are titles. They're not names. But here's where you have to be careful. Don't confuse visibility with personality. What I mean by that, angels are spirits and often have forms. And the forms are like us, but they're not bodies as we have. I don't know that too many people have touched an angel. I don't remember anybody when the young man that was sitting when the resurrection occurred in the tomb, I don't believe that they went in and touched him to see, you know, what are you? They just referred to him as a young man, but it was an angel. It's an angelic being clothed in human form. So we see that they can appear as human beings bringing a human message or as human beings bringing a divine message. We know three of them by name. We don't know it. If you want to say Beelzebub, that's getting into Satan. We're not going to go there right yet. So there's three of them that we know by name. The first one is Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. If you think I'm going too fast, just raise your hand. I can slow down. Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? All right, so the first one, Lucifer. This would be Satan in his unfallen state. We know he was an angel. We know he's the chief of the angels. And there's not a whole lot more than that you can go with, just Lucifer. I've never known anybody call anybody else by name, or name their children Lucifer. Because really, I mean, it's knowing what happens with him. Why would you ever do that? All right, Jude chapter 9. If you can find Jude chapter 9, you let me know. But if you want to turn to Jude 9, that's okay. Here's the second one. And it refers to Michael. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the body, with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. This is a great verse that it is really a death knell on the charismatics who attack the devil vocally, publicly, stomp their foot, tell him to get out of here, call him names. What does Michael say? You don't mess with the devil like that. Anyway, Michael, the archangel, chief angel. There's no one higher than him as an angel. He's mentioned in Daniel. He's mentioned in Revelation. In a place that you may not connect to easily, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Speaking about the rapture, in verse 16, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. So we see he's active in the rapture. Daniel takes up for his people. Daniel is the fighter. So the rapture, nobody's going to strip anybody away that should go from going. I mean, if you're saved, you're going. All right. There's nothing that's going to separate you from being taken up. And that's extremely important. He's the prince of the people, God's people back in the Old Testament, therefore the Jews. And he is the head of a heavenly army of angels. And then our third one, let's go into Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, and I'll give you the reference in Luke. Daniel chapter 8. We'll look down here in verse 16. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. And as you read on, you see that Gabriel talks to Daniel. And so he is more of a person that brings news or talks to the... And notice, he talked in English. He didn't talk in angelic speak. And Daniel didn't have to talk to him in heavenly language. They all understood each other. Luke chapter 1, verse 19, and then 26 through 28, it is when he makes the announcement to Mary that having a child. And I believe he also makes the announcement to Elizabeth. So in both cases, he proclaimed the announcement there. Okay, so let's deal a little bit with their personality. They are created beings. They did not exist from eternity. They are not impersonal influences, like thoughts or ideas. 2 Samuel, let me go there a little bit. 2 Samuel 14. 2 Samuel 14, we'll go down to verse 17. Then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable. For as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore the Lord thy God will be with thee. Then the king answered and said unto the woman, hide not from me, I pray thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. And the king said, is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? And the woman answered and said, as thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand or to the left from aught that my lord the king has spoken. For my servant Joab, he bade me and put it, all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid. To fetch about this form of speech hath thy servant Joab done this thing. And my lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know that all things, to know all things that are in the earth. All right, there's nothing impersonal there. This is knowledge about something that was taking place. Second reference, Revelation 22, 8 and 9, you can just write that down. All right, and let's go to Colossians chapter 1, where we were this morning. Colossians chapter 1. So being created beings, and hearing, seeing in Psalm 8 that man was created a little lower than the angels, therefore they are superior to man. Verse 16, Colossians 1:16, and by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And so since they are superior to man, yet like the images that have been drawn of Christ, they are not like those images. I don't like to upset apple carts, but you can go into Marshall's and Ross's and a lot of these stores, and you can see pictures of what are deemed to be angelic beings. That's not what they look like. They're certainly not babies. If our eyes had not been blinded by sin in the garden when Eve sinned, I believe we'd be able to see them. I believe they're here. I would pray that there are no evil angels here, but only good angels. But it would be like in the Old Testament when was it Elijah said, you know, open my servant's eyes. And you saw chariots of fire and everything that was going on there. I think it would be incredible if we could actually see who is here besides you and me. So is that scary? No, it shouldn't be scary. It should be very comforting when you begin to understand the purpose of good angels, and then scary when you understand the purpose of evil angels. I've had, and this is experiential, I have had times where I have felt there must be an army of evil angels that are going by. Not inhabiting anybody, but on their way to inhabit something or someone. And it was like an evil presence. Even here. And we know that doesn't happen outside people. So, a few occasions that went outside people. But understand that If we just had the eyes to see, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll be free from the presence of sin. I believe we're going to see them. All of them. Not Lucifer. We don't need to see him. He's not going to be there. Eve saw the serpent, didn't she, in the garden? In Genesis 3? Was she talking to a voice or is she talking to an actual serpent? Talking to an actual serpent. She saw him. He was a fallen angel. And he was no longer called Lucifer. So as created beings, they will live forever. But they're not eternal beings because they were created. So they, where God and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, are eternal, angels are not. They're created beings. Created like man, but not human beings. When we go home to be with the Lord in death or the rapture, you and I don't become angels. And I've heard that one. So if that was in your wheel wagon, you better just let it fly. You don't become an angel. We are in Christ right now, and we're greater right now than the angels could ever be. To us has been given the gospel to give out. Don't you believe that angels would love to give it out? And they can. It's all dependent on us. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And look down here in verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Does anybody know how many that is? Wouldn't that not be very similar to this, trying to count the sand of the sea? Just take any local beach. Take a five foot square of the beach and start counting the granules of sand. And multiply that by the trillions, and probably bigger than that, numbers of granules of sand, probably on that beach alone. How can you count them? An innumerable. In other words, it's an indefinite number. The more you keep counting, the more there are. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, when the Lord was... Let's look there. Matthew 26, we're given a number here. It wasn't as far as all of the angelic beings. Matthew 26, go down here in verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Now, the traditional Jewish understanding of legions, Romans, was 6,000 to a legion. Other people have come up with different numbers and so forth. I like 6,000. I don't think it's more than that. $72,000. Angels the Lord could have called. And I don't think he would have necessarily had to go to the cross. But then our sin wouldn't have been paid for. The blood wouldn't have been shed. And we would all die in our sins. Which means that we're all wasting our time. But he didn't call them. But we know that there's a lot of them. Do you know how many good there are to how many evil? No. Do you? Does the Bible tell us? No. All right. Matthew 22. Since you're here in Matthew. And we'll make some distinctions as we go on. There's still a lot of generalization. Verse 24, the Sadducees are trying to tempt the Lord. They don't believe in a resurrection. You have three forms of Judaism today, and you still have the same group that don't believe in miracles or resurrection. And so the predecessors to the groups that are out there today are saying, 24, Master Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also. And the third, and unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Isn't it always interesting how the lost try to trap you? They know full well they don't believe what the word says, but they try to trap you. All right? So Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of the God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So a great many of the angelic beings dwell in the heavenlies. Luke chapter 2. And we'll use this one for the last reference tonight as far as what we're doing. Chapter 2, verse 13. This is the announcement of the birth of Christ. We can go down to verse 10. Actually, we can go back up to verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You've got that reference to the angel of the Lord. So how can you have Christ being born in a manger and the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ at the same time? Obviously you can't. So this is talking about a pretty important angel. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. So, in the study of angels, we know that they are real, that they're not hallucinations, that they many times have human-looking bodies. Many times they don't. We know they're spirit beings. And I believe that if the messenger, the angel, is necessary to take on what appears to be human flesh, they would. And they do. We know that there's, before we get into it, that there's good angels and there's evil angels. And that the evil angels, you know, are submissive to Satan and work for him. And at the same time, the heavenly angels, the ones that have not sinned, work for the Lord. They work for us. They're messengers. They do things for us. They do things in agreement with the Holy Spirit and not in violation of the Word of God. And it's important that we know that for the sake of understanding that as we move forward, then we'll get into some of these things where I just wonder where do people get these things? It's wishful thinking. Every child has a guardian angel. Does he? What about the children in the womb? And so you've got to answer those things in one way or another. The things that have been pretty well set in stone, that whether they're true or not, you need to know why you believe what you believe, right? I mean, because there's a lot of things. Before I got saved, maybe you didn't have this, that there are a lot of things that I just misconstrued and didn't have any knowledge of whatsoever. And then trying to grasp after I got saved and dealing with being a new creature in Christ, and then there's Bible doctrines, and then there's these things that are going on. How's it all going to fit together? And one by one, you start eliminating the things that you should have eliminated before. If you'd been saved when you were young, you wouldn't have some of these issues. You're saved when you get older, it's a different ballgame, because you're subject to the world's thinking, false religion thinking, cultic thinking, and how it permeates almost everything that's going on. So hopefully we can go on, and this will be nowhere near like the doctrine of future things, because there's some things that in dealing with these, you have to let them lie just where they are for what they say, because we don't know. And I'm not ashamed to say, you know, Bible doesn't speak to this, and let it go at that. So if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, and I hope that he has, even though there's a lot that was going on, I just ask that, you know, again, the Holy Spirit is so marvelous in the way he works. He may have been working on your heart for something spiritual, and you just feel the need to come and pray, or he could have convicted you of your love, of the salvation that you don't have, and you just come and let somebody show you how you can know beyond any doubt. I don't want people to come close to being saved and die lost. I just don't. And I am nowhere near the conviction that the Lord has for you. I mean, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's his will for all men to be saved. That's far greater than I can say. I would hate for any of you to die lost being in this church, whether watching, whether here, whether first time, whether 50 times or 100 times, and just knowing about things but never really knowing him. So let's pray. Father, we are more than grateful to be able to come here and among like-minded people study your word, this study in angelic beings, and get somewhat of a grasp on their existence, their duties, their allegiance, their loyalty, and Father, it would be a great thing to be assured that we are in safe hands. So we pray that you just take this very brief introduction with an awful lot of scripture and just melt it into our hearts so that we can take this, ask questions, yes, and then move forward. We're just grateful for the time you've given us here tonight. Please be with us during this time of invitation, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.